We are in Come Follow Me week 19, which is Matthew 19 and 20, Mark 10, and Luke 18. And we're going to center in Mark 10. And this story is told in all three of those, but we're going to center in Mark 10 because I like some of the different things that it said that stood out to me. And this is the story about the rich young ruler who comes, and in verse 17, he says, "Good master, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life?" And Jesus says, "Why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God." And the thought I had with that is Jesus is not to the end of his life. He does not yet, he plans to be perfect. He plans to obey the Father in all things, but he has not accomplished yet everything he's been sent to do. And I love that. I mean, to me, that just really illustrates humility. Don't call me good. There is only one good, Heavenly Father. And now that we know him as our Savior, who has done the atonement, who has been resurrected, we can call him good now. But that for me just really illustrated his humility. Okay, so 13, he goes through the commandments, or 19, excuse me, he goes through the commandments. And then in 20, the rich young ruler says, "All these have I observed from my youth." And this is the verse that I love that's different. 21, then Jesus, beholding him, loved him. And I love that, because I think for the first time, Jesus really looks at him and sees. And what that says to me is this is not some cocky man who comes and says, "Okay, check mark, check mark, check mark." This is someone who says, "From my youth, I have done that. What else do I need to do?" This is a man whose heart is sincere and wanting to follow the Savior and be who he needs him to be. That is so touching to me. And when Jesus sees that, he loves him. And what that says to me is Jesus, seeing my desire, loves me. That's so encouraging to all of us. And this next part I love just as much. And he says to him, "One thing thou lackest." Okay, one thing. That, I have that circled, one. Okay, that's amazing that he's like, "All right, well, you know what? Your desire has been profound. You have obeyed all of that. Here's just one thing that you concentrate on this and you've got it." And he says, "Go thy way, sell whatsoever thou hast, give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven. Come, take up the cross and follow me." And the thing I thought as I read that is, that's exactly what we covenant in the temple. That's the law of consecration. That's what he says to all of us in the temple. As we make those covenants, those five covenants that we make, the very last is that we give all, that we consecrate our very lives if necessary to building the kingdom and following him. Have you had to do that? I haven't had to do that. So I guess what really struck me with this story in reading it three times in these three different places is so often we concentrate on 22, where it says, "And he was sad at the saying and went away grieved, for he had great possessions." And we concentrate on that because he goes on and he says it is harder for a camel to go through the eye of the needle, right? And we concentrate on that and think, "Oh my goodness." But I even love this. So as he says this to the disciples, verse 26, they were astonished and said, "Who then can be saved if not this man who has done everything? Everything but that one thing. Who is going to be saved?" And then I love in 27, Jesus, looking on them, said, "With men it is impossible, but with God all things are possible." It isn't that this rich young ruler can't do it. It's that he can, but he has to deliver himself to God. He has to put himself in God's hands and trust. And it reminded me at a certain point in our lives, I think I've told you guys before, I had a nervous breakdown. We had moved to Seattle. We had a home in Missouri. It was like our 12th move. Every time we would go through and redo our house that we lived in and put it up for sale, and we would barely make enough to cover costs. Sometimes we would be upside down in it. And we had moved from Missouri. Our house had sold and fallen through. And this was a home that we had totally gutted and loved, just loved the house. And we were paying an astronomical amount of rent in Seattle for a converted barn. And we were also paying for our home in Missouri. And we were going further and further and further in the hole. And I can remember just crying, thinking, what more can I do? All these things I have done from my youth. What more? And I can remember the Spirit saying to me, if you never have more than this, can you be happy? One thing thou lackest, Aaron. Give everything to me. Can you do that and be happy? And I went away sorrowing. And it took time for me to realize. I remember the Spirit saying, you are every bit as focused on money as any rich person is, only you're focused on what you lack. And for some reason in my head, I had it that if I obeyed the commandments, that I would never struggle, that we would never go through trial, that we would never have lack. And that's a lie. And I love this because then Peter says in 28, we've left all. Look, we've done it and we followed thee. So us, are we saved? And again, it's this comparison, right? Which I was doing. I'm not like the rich people. Look, we have nothing and I've done all this. And 29, Jesus answered and said, verily I say unto you, there is no man that hath left house or brethren that hath left house, sisters, father, mother, and I'm jumping all over, wife or children or lands for my sake and the gospel. 30, but he shall receive 100-fold in time. And the thing that's interesting to me is as you go to the bottom of this chapter, verse 33, he starts to tell them of what is going to happen, what is going to come. Behold, we go up to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man shall be delivered unto the chief priests and to the scribes, and they shall condemn him to death. And shall deliver him to the Gentiles. So go back, 29. There is no man that hath left house or brethren or sisters or father or mother or wife or children or lands for my sake and the gospel's, but he shall receive 100-fold. Jesus is the only man who has done everything he asked. He gave all. I love that. Everything we are told that we give here, he makes up for all lack. And that's so touching to me when you think of people who have had infuriating unfairness in their life. Jesus beholding him, the desires of his heart, the effort he made, loved him. We are blessed for what we do. God delights to honor and bless us. He opens the windows of heaven to us. We are not punished. God is not a God of punishment. He has so much in store for us. So the question is, what am I keeping myself from? Because I don't want to give up what I have here. I think of callings that I've sat and thought, oh, please don't ask me to do that. Just please don't ask me. It's sad. We will sit in church and as they announce a new young women's leader, or a new Relief Society president, I'll just silently think, thank you, thank you, thank you. But what are the blessings I'm keeping myself from? What is the refining? What is the learning? And it's having an eternal perspective and desiring to be made more. And this was the lesson that so stood out to me in these chapters. I hope you know the church is true. And more than that, I hope you know how much our Savior loves you.